You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728. Live from WRCT Studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Hour, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Education Hour. You can check me out on Twitter. Oh my, where am I going tonight? Who knows, but I'm excited anyway as trying to update because of the guests. It's very interesting, the conversation, I'll get my co-host on the line first, was kind of coming up with some new conversations. And the reason I want to discuss tonight about 13 Reasons Why is, first of all, I was introduced to this topic based on tutoring one of my students, and she talked about, have you seen 13 Reasons Why on Netflix? And, you know, I've been interviewing a lot of Netflix shows lately and all these things, and I was kind of really interested in knowing more about it. And she told me about it. I'm like, you know, you're in seventh grade. I don't know. This topic seems pretty deep for you. And she was talking about, well, my mom doesn't want me to watch it, but I binged and watched the entire thing. And I'm like, okay. Well, that's the first part of this conversation with 13 Reasons Why. Then after that, I get, my wife says, I got an email, Neil. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because the conversation started going more and more about schools and suicide and 13 Reasons Why, Pine Ridgeland School District, which is the school district that my daughter goes to school at, we would like everyone to view the show. And she's in sixth grade. So this is where I wanted to bring some experts on the show who also have a related project. So that's why I was a little confused in my opener, because I'm used to, you know, maybe the Neil Haley show involves more celebrity. But we do have some celebrity. But first, let me introduce my two co-hosts. First, I want to welcome to the program Jason, the public school guy. Is it Jason or do I have Jared on?
You have Jared.
Oh, Jared. Okay, so it's not Jason. Jared, how are you? You remember we were talking about we're going to have this conversation. So we have some really interesting guests tonight on the show. So I have my co-host Jared, and I also have Peter Elvidge. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
All right, so now this is going to be really interesting. There is a film that's now in post-production. It's gotten a lot of good reviews and stuff, and involves, again, bullying and suicide. So I'm excited to welcome the program co-writer of Reach, Johnny James Fiore. Johnny, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And also Maria Kapp, she's a co-writer as well for the movie Reach. How are you, Maria?
I'm wonderful. Good evening, and thank you again for having me on.
Absolutely. So I had this long introduction, but we're ready to roll. And it's kind of funny. When I started thinking about 13 Reasons Why, I went back, and I'm glad I did a little research for a second involving suicide movies and highlighting suicide in the conversation. And it goes back, and I know Maria and I could be close to the same age. I know Johnny and I are definitely not. That Maria, remember Heathers? Remember that conversation in the 80s. So it's not like it's.
I remember that movie. I am very familiar with that movie, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we could go to that. But
Slater fan.
Yeah. So okay. So Maria. So that was kind of. But I thought in that way they kind of really made fun of the people in certain ways that committed suicide in that film, and it was really dark in so many ways. Right, Maria?
Yeah. Yeah, Winona Ryder, you know, she had that whole edgy, dark gossing going on. So, yeah, it was a make fun kind of thing in the 80s. I just don't remember it being so in our face, though. So it was like you either knew and saw the movie and you watched it. But it wasn't as in your face as where we are today with having the accessibility to other things.
Well, I think so too. And it was kind of like a real shock because everyone, it was cool to commit suicide. And it really wasn't a conversation of the 80s and involved a lot of different things. Jarrett, you remember the film, right? Heathers?
I do remember the film. But now I just don't recall it being about suicide, though.
Oh, a lot of people committed suicide throughout just because of a disc jockey that was doing, I guess, a fake broadcasts, and that was Christian Slater, was threatening people that were suffering through things to commit suicide. So it has nothing to do with 13 Reasons Why, but I kind of wanted to kind of delve into that because this is not 13 Reasons Why is not, it's not just the first time ever something that was highlighted with suicide. Even a joke one, Better Off Dead, was another one. And we all remember that one as well. Yeah. So I just kind of trying to bring some history in this, and this is because of the education portion, Maria, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, even though Johnny is a much younger man and of the millennial generation, so he can speak to that, but he's very aware of these films just from being a filmmaker. And these are films that we talked about in the development of our story, Reach. So it's interesting that you bring them up. And the thing that's different, Neil, is what? Yeah. It's the accessibility to watch it over and over or see it and then share the information. The following and the number of people that saw the movie Heathers and that saw the movie Better Off Dead is not the same in comparison to the instantaneous viewership of the current climate and the show that presently we're going to talk about, 13 Reasons Why.
Okay, and that's thank you for that segue. I appreciate that. And Jarrett, have you ever watched 13 Reasons Why? I have never. So you and I that are in our 40s have not. Have you, Jarrett, or not?
Well, being the professional that I am, I started to give it a try, and I watched, I guess, the first 15 minutes of it, and I stopped watching it for a variety of reasons. Mostly, I think I stopped watching it when I saw the two girls taking a selfie in front of the shrine that was the lockup.
Yeah. So,
That's when I decided that this was not a show that was going to, was not a show for me.
Interesting. And see, and Jarrett's a little older than me, and Peter, you're in your 20s as well. Peter, have you watched the show? Are you a fan of it?
Yeah, well, I actually just finished the show yesterday, the last couple of episodes, and my personal opinion of it is that it's a great show, but, you know, it tells things how it is. It creates, instead of just having a plain black area or a plain white area, it actually creates a whole ton of gray areas that I think is not only good for conversation, but also I think it's a lot of things that weren't, you know, previously put out there in different art forms. You know what I mean? Because mostly it's been either black or white, and now we're kind of creating a mixture that's kind of creating this, you know, complex conversation that's not only bringing up different types of topics, but it's also creating a lot of connections not only to the younger generation, but older generation that have experienced multiple different sides of this and different types of aspects.
Interesting. So let's go to Maria first. And you have watched the whole seasons, the seasons of this show. Am I correct, Maria?
Yes. And I watched it for two reasons. One, I was told by my 21-year-old that she watched it in its entirety and that my 14-year-old son watched it. And he watched it without my knowledge.
Oh, geez.
And or... without my knowledge and or awareness. And my son also is in the movie Reach, which is also a piece that, you know, touches the themes that you mentioned, which is suicide and bullying. So it was very much in the face and in our home. So I, this weekend, for the first time, had an opportunity to breathe, and part of that breath meant to have dialogue so I can talk to my kids and really understand what the hype was surrounding 13 Reasons Why. And I did. I watched it.
Okay, so let's go to Johnny's take on this, especially as you're a filmmaker as well. You knew the whole buzz from the beginning, right? Being the age that you are, Johnny, and stuff like that,
yeah,
about this show. Maria knew about it, but yet had to really watch it because once she found out her children were watching it, I gotta view this as well. Johnny, give us your take, and then I can't wait to get Maria's because you two are the ones I'm going to go, and Peter, all three of you are, I guess, our film connoisseurs or TV series connoisseurs, to tell us specifically little parts. Don't spoil anything for people that want to watch it, but my whole point is this something, what age should you cut this off? So let's get Johnny's take a little bit on the show and like giving us a little bit of an update of who the characters are and what kind of the whole basis of the story.
Yeah, I remember back when actually it was released that they were that Selena Gomez was gonna develop it as a series, and I was very curious of how they were gonna approach it because I mean I didn't read the book, but from the people that have read the book, it is very much all present as opposed to in the show, which I think from a filmmaking storytelling perspective was brilliantly done. I the way they cover all the characters and they go back in the past and how they just from the like pure filmmaking aspect of it, what they did with switching the colors of the times and all the little details of how, you know, they were telling the story. And, you know, they had a big platform. They had 13 episodes, 13 hours essentially to work with. So I thought they covered, you know, every point of it, and they did it very realistically, in my opinion. I thought it was very on point with how high school is, and especially today, just how kids are, how kids react to it, how kids are bystanders to it. I thought they really covered the ground and did it well. I do think, as far as an age perspective, it's tricky, you know, to put a number on it because I believe it's just a matter of awareness, you know, with the viewer watching it, you know, where they are in their life. Are, you know, are they aware of their surroundings? Are they an aware person? Because I think, you know, awareness is rare nowadays and it is power, I feel. So, you know, 14 and down, I think, might be a little young, especially if it's, let's say, a 13-year-old just watching him by himself with, you know, binging it in one night. That could be a lot, you know, but I think, yeah, I don't know if I could put an age on it. It's tricky. I find it fascinating the fact like that adults are watching it and their take on it, because they do dive into the parents' perspective, which I thought was, you know, very honest, sadly honest in, you know, some cases. So, yeah.
Maria, the kind of the premise of the show, I love Johnny's answer about age, and he's sticking to that roundtable discussion and giving me his take as a filmmaker and co-writer of Reach and seeing what it was. But what about Maria, the storyline for us?
First of all, besides, let's take the storyline to the side. Well, let's just talk about the language. So you go to a movie and buy a movie ticket. The movie has a rating, and R rated, 17, under 17, not permitted without an adult, is an R rating. And this probably would have received an R rating because they use the word, they use the F word. They describe the male reproductive part with every possible negative word.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if they reference, I don't think they vulgar, you know, use the vulgarity of description of a female. The females don't talk negatively about each other, and I don't know that the boys depict the female parts negatively. But the male reproductive organ, every word that you can imagine to describe a male organ is used. So I think this would probably receive an R rating just on the language alone, because as the episodes progress, the F word and the language is used strongly. So for that reason alone, you know, it would have an R rating. So use that as your guide. The storyline and the subject matter, I agree with Johnny. From a filmmaking standpoint, the way they depicted and used color to reflect the present day of the kids' lives as the aftermath after she passed away versus when Hannah's character was alive and we were looking at her alive. It was all colorful. So that's something to note and watch when you're watching it. But the film, if you've never watched the show, it's really more than suicide. And Johnny and I were talking about this, and I've talked to other people involved in REACH. This piece is about high school, and it's about the hierarchy of power in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how that plays out into submission and into being a victim, and whether that victimization has to do with bullying as cyberbullying or social media bullying, bullying between a male dominating a female, which really is a very large theme in this piece. And then the idea of hierarchy of power in the school system with reference to bureaucracy, adults, educators, superintendent, principal, protecting the school's reputation because of sports, protecting the athlete, protecting the rich white kid, the valedictorian. It's all of this protection, fear, power base, and then the hierarchy that trickles down. And the way the show arcs, it's a show. It's more than the book, right? So it goes beyond to set up for future seasons and future storylines that are relevant today in the school system amongst teenagers. So I think that the story is 13 Reasons Why is a platform to create discussion. That's why we're discussing it. But I really feel you can't comment on it until you really watch it.
Yeah, unless you met me, Maria, I can comment on a lot of things. So when we get back, we're going to continue. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to take
Maria,
a quick.
Clearly,
Jared will tell you in a second because Jared's going to have questions.
You've never listened to our show before.
the education show.
I'm not really having any facts to support us.
But that's involved in education because of my years. In teaching, Jared's years in teaching, Jason who comes on, but I don't do this in celebrity things. So you got your question, Jared, when we get back.
Okay.
You're listening to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT when we get back. We're going to have a great conversation again about 13 Reasons Why with Johnny James Fiore, Maria Kapp. We have Jarrett and we have Peter Elvidge, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT, and I'm going to throw it right over to Jarrett with some questions. Now, we can talk about me and opinions, and I do have some opinions, but Johnny and Maria at least watched the show. I am in the boat of as a parent. When I get an email sent to me saying, your daughter needs to watch this, when my daughter is not, I sometimes don't even want her exposed, it's in sixth grade, to certain Disney shows. And you're going to tell me, go ahead and watch Netflix. And it's just because Ava's the oldest, and we had her like an only child for so many years till we had our other four kids, that I am very protective in that certain aspect. And for you to go and recommend this when you don't have experience, and this is talking about a Pine Richland school teacher, that's when I wanted this conversation to come. And what a great situation with Johnny and Maria to kind of jump in and really give us some good heads up. But Jarrett, you got questions. Peter, you got questions. And Peter can also give us information. So go ahead, Jarrett.
Being someone who found myself just not being able to watch the show for a variety of reasons. But I guess what I would ask is, what is the controversy? There seems to be controversy surrounding this, whether it's school districts telling parents not to let them watch the show, or in Neil's case, telling them that they should watch the show. I guess what I would ask is, why the controversy? Besides the topic of suicide, what does it glamorize? Suicide? Does it make adults look like they're fools? Where's the fear that seems to be accompanying this?
In terms of the controversy?
Yeah. Yes, Maria.
I mean, because
yeah, if I
I really want to know.
Yeah, I don't know the exact answer, but I can respond to how I felt. I think the controversy is there's two things. I think our society has a certain level of denial that what
yes, I agree.
Reasons why is showing us actually exists. It does exist. It's very real. It's very real. I think that's what the controversy is, that some of us are in denial of what really exists in the school system. Some of us are in denial as parents because we may not have an in-depth hands-on parenting style. So there's a lot of what's depicted in the show. There's a really great backstory for each child, each teen, in looking at their family. And so there's truth in that. And I think what happens when we react to art or we react to a story, whether it is true or not true, and in this case, it's based on a book that's based on truth, it's too real. We see something in it that is reflective of us or someone that we know. And sometimes that creates controversy because we have to admit to that.
Johnny,
I don't think your sixth grade daughter, though, should watch.
But this is going out to elementary kids, fifth and sixth grade. Isn't that terrible? Fifth and sixth grade. And that's where I'm going to address it. I'm going to send this interview, once it's a podcast, to the principal to listen to. But go ahead, Johnny. You answer the same question that Jared asked, Maria and you.
I actually do have a follow-up then.
Jerry, you can have a follow-up. But can I get Johnny's answer too? We got two people. Go ahead, Johnny. What would you say, the same question he pointed to Maria, to you as well, Johnny? What would your answer be?
Johnny,
what would your answer be, Johnny? Did we lose Johnny?
I think we lost him.
Let me check the lines. I got Johnny. I got you back on the line now, Johnny. What would you
get me?
Yeah, I got you. What would your answer be, Johnny?
Baby,
we can hear you.
Okay, and this was to the question prior.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Maria. I feel that it's too real for some, and agreeing with Maria again that a lot of people are in denial, and this is just so. I mean, it's vulnerable, it's personal, it's intimate, and especially if you're, you know, watching it in your living room and you're watching it, you know, beginning to end, as most do, it's binging it and really, really getting lost in it. And it because it is, you know, executed so well, it really just sucks you in. And that's almost invasive to some. And a lot of people are in denial. So I feel the same way. I feel it's too real for some.
All right, Peter,
you have 13 hours versus 90 minutes of Heather's in the other movie. So 90 minutes to go into a movie theater, you're surrounded by other people, it's a big screen, versus 13 hours with your laptop or your television or your handheld device in your own home. Yeah, very different experience. I agree.
And let's go, Jarrett, your follow-up question, then Peter has a question. We're going to have to keep your eyes on Maria and Johnny longer. I didn't expect this, but this is great. This is fantastic conversation. Go ahead, Peter, answer
the
question.
I guess the follow-up I have is, does the show lose credibility with the second season? Does the show lose any credibility from?
As a marketing
gimmick. I don't think so at all. It's that whole thing. There's no such thing as bad press type deal. I mean, if people are talking about it, it's up and it's out there. And I think people are, even if, just one way or another, are going to watch it. Especially if they watch the first season.
I think in terms of credibility, I can just answer. Yeah. Can I answer, though, the credibility part of it?
Sure.
So when you watch the show, what they did beautifully, and this is I'm an advocate for this age group. I mean, what they did so beautifully is this, and I'm not giving spoilers away, but what they did was in each character, they tried, and to a varying degree, some characters, you have more empathy for than others, but I am sure that as they continue to develop the storylines of the individual characters, the living, the ones who are alive and are grieving or are affected, and I love the use of butterflies. Hannah has butterflies all over her bedroom. She uses the voiceover and she talks about the butterfly effect, how one small thing or ripple or event has an effect that can be profound. But as you see what they do over 13 episodes, they develop arcs for each one of the characters. And what we're going to learn about and what we're being exposed to is what drives a kid, a teenager, to hurt themselves or hurt others.
See that? Yeah.
And each one of these kids has stakes that are raised. Whether you like the characters or not, whether you identify with the characters or not, the credibility will come from the writers and how they continue to develop. And they gave us cliffhangers. And the cliffhangers, which is your dramatic thing that you need to do to get an audience, to get season two picked up, is... I want to see what they do with these characters.
Yeah.
And I think, again, it opens up for further conversation about more stuff that happens in the schools. Where I'm curious to see how they're going to handle the guidance counselor's accountability and the limitations that a teacher or faculty member has in terms of reporting, what their responsibility is and how they're such a gray area of not being able to because they don't quite have all the information that they need. Or it's I'm very interested to see how that plays out, how it plays
Me
out
too.
For the kid who is overwrought with guilt over being overpowered and obliged to his friend who is a power hog because he's got wealth and privilege and he just has a cocky attitude of expectation and privilege. So I really think credibility, I think they are opening themselves up to being an award-winning show. Or they're going to do something, I don't know. I don't know how to do anything wrong with it.
I think it's going to continue to be popular. Kids are going to really, and it'll keep going because of the thing. Netflix, you can stream it anywhere. It's not expensive for kids to get. They could stream it on so many different devices and all of those different things. And I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm going to reach out to Netflix because I've promoted a lot of their different projects and see if I can get a guest on or specifically check this out. So to kind of go into the second half of the show, I'm going to invite Johnny and Maria to stay on the show because they got to talk to us about Reach and the relationship that is comparably to this. But I know Peter has a couple questions for them as well, but I'm so glad they're not giving away the show yet. It's giving us the conversation of why I chose to do this topic. I don't want people to tell me what my children can watch. I want to learn from myself what I think it is. And it's not the right of the school district. It's not the right of certain, advocacy groups to recommend something. They need to tell us why it could be a good thing, but not say, hey, you go ahead and do this. And there's two different stories we could talk about and for sure. So when we get back, more with Jared, Johnny James Fiore, and Maria Kapp, both from Reach, the movie Reach, and also Peter Elvidge, who's going to ask questions for Johnny and Maria. You're listening to the Toleducation Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. We get back more with Johnny, Maria, Peter, Jared, myself. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toleducation Hour, and I'm just going to jump right in on, again, 88.3 WRCT and go to Peter. Peter, what questions do you have for Johnny and Maria?
Yes, well, so I want to explain something just really quick so you understand my area of watching the show and my stances. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone a little bit. I'm going to say that I have known four people who have struggled with suicide. Two of them, unfortunately, lost their lives. Two of them are survivors today. And I appreciate it. But I viewed the show, and it's a show that people might not necessarily want, but it's a show that people need. I believe personally for many different aspects, whether it be suicide, whether it be bullying, all sorts of the different topics that they cover in the show. I think it's a need that people need to see this, even if it's in pieces or parts to start with, to kind of start digesting it. I think that people need to view it because the major part that I found in the show that was just moving, you know, kind of as a show's standpoint, is the tapes. Is in the book, I don't know the relation, the differences between the book and the movie, but in a book format, you read what's on the tapes. In a TV format or an audio format, hearing someone who has committed suicide, you know, via a tape, even if it's a story, is a very expensively powerful thing. And I just, you know, I wanted to kind of put out there, and I was just curious for, you know, because you guys have seen this, as well as, you know, Neil, who hasn't, who might, you know, have some ideas as well, like, with these particular topics, what do you think would be another powerful way, either going into season two or something that might have changed, that you might have changed in season one, to kind of make this even a little bit more powerful, or maybe a different way of looking at something in kind of a movie perspective or scene perspective?
That's a good question. Maria?
Who wants the...
Oh, you want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead, Maria.
Yeah.
Okay, did you say Maria goes first or
yeah,
Johnny?
Yeah, Maria goes no. first. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the question, just to clarify, was you thought that the voice, the actual audio of hearing the voice, was extremely powerful, and what possible suggestions could they do going forward? Is that what... Is that the question?
Thinking from your perspective of, like, all the things that they could do to describe, you know, feelings, emotions, times that are in those particular scenarios, what do you think would be something that you would want to do artistically-wise that would show kind of that same gravity as, like, the recording from the tapes, you know, as the audio that Kanna presented to all the different students?
Well, I think they definitely have some really great songs that underscore the show. Specifically, at the end of the show, every show has a very specific theme and song. I also like that they used poetry. They have that one young man who is. He's an aspiring journalist, writer, and yeah. He's responsible for the independent student book. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, and it has art and it has short stories and poems. So I think the use of poetry, and one thing that this 13 Reasons Why doesn't have in the first episode, and they don't show, it's very sports oriented. So there's a strong theme about the role that the athletic department has, but it doesn't have music, the band, or the drama. So going forward, I think, and that's what we did in our story, is we encompassed the arts. So we encompassed music and band and theater and film writing and story writing in our movie. So I think there's an opportunity for them to do that, so that'll make it a little bit more diversified in appealing to students that are not just into sports. To me, the first season just seemed like a very athletic versus non-athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a photography student who did take pictures, and then we have this other student who used writing and storytelling, and then they used the element of the tapes as being an audio. So they can continue. Maybe going forward, it won't be her tapes, her voice, Hannah, but it'll be reflective of Hannah, and maybe the character Clay will talk mm-hmm. in the voiceover.
Greg, I agree too with that.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, you can talk to that, because a lot of teen shows like Awkward and I think Finding Carter, they all have a voiceover element, kind of like Ferris Bueller did in the, you know, 80s for us, and then he broke the fourth wall and talked out to the audience, but he also had a voiceover going on, and again, that's a very different style of story, but the use of storytelling through voiceover, narration.
Yeah, I think that as well. I feel with Clay, they have an opportunity to, I mean, if it's not tapes, it could still be voiceover, you know, Clay in a journal, just Clay narrating what's going on, the aftermath, and then other parts of the school as well. You know, there's so many other areas to dive into. It's high school. It's one of the most, you know, diverse group scenarios, and everybody's in such a time in their life where just emotions are going crazy. And I think I really like the element of when the students are talking and like are having their own conversations aside from the tapes, and they're showing the ripple effect and how it was affecting them. And I think there's an opportunity to see further on with that about how they go about their lives, and, you know, if they come together, if they go apart, if they continue doing the same things like it never happened. And I think that would be an interesting direction to go in, because, you know, you see it time and time again, sadly, you know, whether it's suicide or, you know, somebody loses their life. It's almost this kind of sick thing where people hop on it for attention purposes and, you know, just want to be there because it's kind of, and it sounds disgusting saying it, but to some kids, it's like the cool thing at the time, like, oh, we're all over here now and sharing this, and then it's over. And then, you know, they just go on like nothing happened. And I think they depict that well in the first season as well, with the fact of the people who weren't necessarily her friends. They just kind of, you know, with the one character, the student government girl, they had, you know, a night together or whatever, and then afterwards she claimed to be a friend. But, you know, in some cases they are just acquaintances that come in after somebody is gone and saying they were friends. So I think that's a very new thing happening, especially with social media and all the other outlets. So I think that's an interesting direction to go in as well.
And I'm going to go to Jared's
question. Can I just add one other thing?
Yes.
One other thing about that. And it's teens, we all human beings, we think a lot. We have a lot of thoughts going on in our heads. But it is noted that teens, the synapse and the forming of thoughts and reasoning is at exponential all-time high. And so the use of voiceover tape thoughts is very powerful to reach this audience and this population by getting in the head of somebody. So if you have a great face and there's no present, like Johnny said, if you really look at it, there's a lot of action that takes place.
Yes.
With no present dialogue. And then there is also present dialogue, but the action takes place with the voiceover narration. So it's like you're getting in the head of someone and you're listening to it and you're like, oh, maybe I don't identify with that, but I didn't think somebody thought like that, or, oh, I thought like that, or I felt that. So I think that's very powerful for this age range and this audience.
See, and that's a great thing. And so I'm going to go to Jarrett's questions, because I'm going to kind of just give you my little quick update in a way. Again, one of the things that's happened in the school district that my daughter goes to, there's suicide has been very a bad thing. We had a lot of suicides in the Pine Richland School District. Also, suicide was very big for one of our parishioners that ended up committing suicide at our church that went to the school that my wife teaches at. So in just one false swoop, it happened. And then how people come out after something like this occurs. So this is where it's now being shown and it's happening. So Jarrett, go ahead with more questions for Johnny and Maria.
I'm going to pass that on to you right now, Neil, because I'm actually trying to think of some here, but I'm going to defer to you.
Wow, that's the first time ever. You asked some very deep questions. And Peter, you can have a question after I kind of take Jarrett's spot on questions. So now Maria, and we're going to go last segment again into Reach. We're going to learn a little bit about it, what's happening, why you guys want to start this dialogue about bullying and also depression, suicide, how to kind of get this awareness out. That's why you guys are spending the time tonight with us, Maria and Johnny. But Maria, the question I want to delve into is, in a lot of ways, is the thought process of could they have done this differently in a way, Netflix having this out there that's attracted so many age groups? Do you feel that, and we talked about, you know, rated R if it was a movie, do you think that because of the ability to stream, the ability to put these, have these devices and stuff, that it's going to be something where it's very accessible to many people? And that's a concern I have.
Well, look, I'm a parent, and I have, 23-year-old, 21-year-old, and 14-year-old. And technology had started with, MySpace and instant messaging in my world. And I remember the impact of that coming into the house with my eldest daughter to where we are now. So the big thing is accessibility, and you're asking me, you know, what my thoughts are on that. As a parent, I struggle every day with the accessibility. I mean, my husband and I sit across the dining room table, and we're both working on our laptops.
Right.
So the accessibility of our work is in our home. The accessibility of us to do work, it's 24/7.
Correct.
The accessibility for my son to go to school is on his laptop. Everything, his grading system, accessibility to work missed, his games, the way he socializes, accessible. The way he watches and views his favorite shows is different than what we did and what we're used to. It's just all about accessibility. So as a parent, I'm struggling with how do I censor, or how do I set limitations on what my youngest can access? And at this point, it's really just about, and then this brings me to something I wrote down before, even with 13 Reasons Why and with what we did in Reach, they're showing you also that it starts at home.
Yes.
That the way things play out in a teen's life in school comes back to home. So accessibility comes to home, and your relationship, your reaction, your involvement, whether it's micro or macro, it's at home with your child. Your child who is a toddler to a kid, I don't even know what that level is called, to the tween, to the teen, you know, to the adolescent transitioning into college. And then even there, it's still home accessibility. It's about at home. So it's just dialoguing and communicating. And to answer your question, I struggle with it every day.
And that's why, and where we get back, we're going to go right into Reach, but I'll give one more quick question. Not long answers for Johnny and Maria, and then we really want to get into Reach because we want to find out about it, because again, it's doing well received so far, and in the post-production, and some really talented people are in the feature. So you're listening to Toleducation Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. When we get back, we'll be with Johnny James Fiore and Maria Kapp. We're going to talk about Reach, and I'm going to give one more question on 13 Reasons Why, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Toleducation Hour on WRCT 88.3 FM, and we got our whole panel talking about 13 Reasons Why and then Reach. Jared, I heard you jump in. Quick question directed to either Johnny or Maria. What was the question, Jared, you wanted to have?
Perhaps Maria, but I think anyone can answer this because we all have this accessibility to multimedia. You mentioned it starts at home. What does the show offer any insight as to what goes on at home with all of the characters, whether it's positive, negative, good or bad, or mistakes that parents make?
All of the above. All of the above. All of the above.
Definitely.
Of the above. And it does depict differences in in class, in education, in environment, in economics of the family. It shows it all. In race, in culture, there's
What do we learn?
Day,
what mistakes are made?
That we're human, and that we're human, right, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah.
But I think what's to learn is, you know, there's a big lack of awareness, even in, well, very much so in the parents, but also in the kids. It, sometimes the way they depict it, it's so clear in the main character of Hannah that she's not stable, and the parents are just elsewhere. You know, they're in their own,
yes,
they're in their own worlds and not paying attention. They're not aware. They're not checking in. There's, that comes with everything, especially in today's time, is just this whole, you know, devices. Everybody's wrapped up in their own devices, and it's taking, you know, awareness out of the world. It's just, well, getting them into their, yeah, phones, and they're not paying attention.
Great point.
And I mean, that's something we're all struggling with on a day-to-day basis.
Great point. Okay. That's great. Okay. 13 reasons why. Peter, we can save that question. I really want to get into Reach. Johnny, tell us the story of why you decided, and you and Maria got together and decided to do this film. Again, another avenue, especially, I love the avenue. Again, we're going to definitely talk about possible suicide and stuff in the conversation, but also bullying, which I know is in 13 Reasons mm-hmm. Why. I know that there are groups. I know that there are niches of groups of people together. It was when we were in the 80s, the
Absolutely.
Same thing, or 90s, but it's worse now because of social media, cyberbullying, the ability that every second you are under a microscope, you could escape at home from bullying. You can't escape anymore, which I've had mm-hmm. tons of conversations. So Johnny, tell us how this all started with Reach.
Well, I have to say it started when I had done a play for Maria that she put on, and she did very well in doing that. And it touched upon some of the same themes that Reach and 13 Reasons Why touched upon, with high school and, you know, bullying and suicide. So from there, I shared a story with Maria about when I was in high school, and Reach was inspired by a few events, but to give one, it was, I made a conscious decision going into my later years in high school to be just more aware of, you know, my surroundings, and aware of other students, and reaching out to them no matter what, you know, group they were in. I just wanted to befriend everybody, and I wanted to be, you know, it was like my own little secret project. And I did it. I did it throughout my junior and senior year. And a few of them, you know, shared words with me of how it impacted them, and it really moved me, and how they were in dark places, and, you know, they didn't have any friends. Some of them just didn't have any friends, which I found just heartbreaking, you know. And what do you do, you know, if you're alone with no friends? And this was kind of pre-social media. The escape factor wasn't as big as it is now. But, yeah, it that's kind of the story that I shared with Maria. And from there, we knew there was an opportunity there.
Okay.
So, yeah. So being specific, what Johnny shared was, and the idea of the power of one small gesture, the power of one small gesture can change the course of someone's life forever. And what he did was brought on his writing partner, which is Grant Harling, and the three of us together wrote the screenplay Reach. And together we developed it, the three of us, over a 2.5, almost 3-year period of time. Mm-hmm. And
it was great because we had those three different perspectives, you know, of a
yeah.
parent, of Grant, who's in between both of our ages. And it came together very well as far as our different point of views and what to put into it.
So, Reach is a story of providing an eyes view into the lives of both the victim and the bully. And understanding, you know, what's in their mind, what's in their thoughts when they come to school, and why they act the way they act, by understanding what their backstory is. And then the other thing that Reach is about, I think, I feel very strongly about, and the guys, Grant and Johnny as well, and every time someone came to the table and came to our project, felt it and validated this very thing, was that they loved how, regardless of the events and circumstances and some of the people that do get hurt and it's hard to watch, it is a message of hope, and it is an anti-suicide, anti-bully story. So there is, you know, overcoming and moving ahead and you know, moving on kind of a thing. So
great. And that's,
reaching above.
So that's great. Positive for sure. And let's go to Peter. You have a question for Johnny and Maria regarding the film that's in post-production? Just the idea.
Yeah. So this is an interesting question, because I know that social media, you know, online, the amount of reach and amount of connections that we have digitally these days can be something that's, you know, it's uncontrollable. It's very hard to maintain, you know, and so many things can happen, bullying, all this different stuff. But I want to ask you guys this, and I also want to bring it out there, is that with one of my experiences, I actually helped someone survive by the means of using Facebook and having the accessibility of talking to them across the world. Now, I'm curious with what you guys are doing, or if you are ever planning on doing this, have you ever planned on using online and social media and all these connections towards another light of possibility of being able to save people or being able to communicate or conversation? You know what I mean?
Well, one of our taglines, and we have T-shirts that we, you know, had made up, it's reach out and save a life. Reach out, save a life. So, you know, the thing that you're mentioning, we have lots of possibilities. We're aligning with a couple of organizations we're looking at right now to align with, and we're going to partner with them to create awareness for a couple of different platforms. But the whole purpose for me personally is, if we can reach out and impact just one, then it's all worth it.
Yes.
We're doing our medium, our story, you know, different than 13 Reasons Why, is a movie. It is a one-time sit-down experience. So what we do is not as in-depth and lengthy of all of the different characters and all of the different themes. We really are specific in showing the arc and the impact of... There's three main characters in the story, and then so in that story, in that intimate specificity of relationship and those characters, reaching out and saving a life is great, no matter how that transcends itself. Using social media is definitely in the future, and we'd love that opportunity.
Okay, Jarrett. Awesome. Jarrett, questions for Johnny and Maria.
Actually, Peter, that was really insightful, because so many times, maybe even all the time, we see technology or we hear technology as a criticism, and daily you can read in the newspaper of cyberbullying, and what, Peter, what you actually talked about was turning it around and seeing the potential for good that comes from that's I don't have a question, that's a comment.
that's a great comment. And Johnny and Maria, what they're doing with Reach is bringing a positive conversation towards suicide and also bullying. Two topics that are running rampant. A good friend of mine, Mark Miro, the former WCW heavyweight champion, he was WWE and all that stuff. He is out there talking about the specific things. And I think, Jarrett, you were on an interview with me and him where, you know, the cutting that's rampant in these schools, a lot of things that are happening in high school that weren't happening when Jarrett and I went to high school or Maria and I went to high school. That is just...
Oh, no, I disagree.
I'm
going to say, I agree, they were happening.
It was worse.
Yeah. You think worse? Worse? Go ahead, Maria.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm going to give you my age. I graduated high school in 1981 from a high school with 681 graduates in Suffolk County on Long Island. Very segregated school district. Sports were big. Theater was very geeky. And I can tell you that watching 13 Reasons Why was as real and relevant
really? Wow.
as what I experienced in 1981 and what my two beautiful daughters experienced in their high school experience as well, and what my son has experienced. The only difference is the accessibility and the sensationalizing it, which I can't even speak right now.
That's okay. Yeah.
Sensationalism of it.
Yeah.
See,
availability. Yes, that's what I was talking about earlier.
So, see.
It's the sensationalism of it and the instantaneous notoriety for good, bad, and ugly.
So
that's the only difference.
So, Maria, you think that, and this is a good, I mean, bullying back when I went to school was more about kids that bullied others were feeling bad about themselves. Now it's just so popular.
Oh,
I think.
Neil.
See. Okay. So I know we can't. We're going to run out of time because I start getting controversial on those things. But so we could have that conversation and dialogue another time for sure. So Johnny, what's exciting about it is that the project, your ideas, getting Maria to come together. You have a really good cast. Tell us quickly about the cast who's in this film.
Oh my God. The cast was just out of this world. I loved every single one of them. To name a few, there's Garrett Clayton, who him and I acted alongside each other every day. And he was just such a professional and really just showed up to work. And there was so much passion in everybody from Garrett, Maria's kids, Steven, Natasha, Rafaela, Grant, Harling, who's also the co-writer. There was Joey Bragg. For Joey Bragg and Jordan Dow, and it was so. I feel spoiled, honestly. Everybody was so inspired and so on it every single day, and just really bringing the story to life.
In addition to the idea of this fabulous, on it, talented, bringing it on cast, the people that Johnny mentioned, Garrett Clayton, Joey Bragg, Jordan Dow, Johnny James Fury, Grant Harling, Rafaela Kapp, Natasha Kapp, Chelsea. I mean, these young people
90 seconds
given an opportunity to share themselves, as I'm sure the actors did in 13 Reasons Why, and express and share what they wanted to say about their high school experience through this story. They wanted to say something.
That's great.
And then you had people like Corbin Burnson and Conchetta Tomei and Bo Jesse Christopher, and we have Kevin Sizemore in the adult roles.
60 seconds.
Who brought their breadth of professionalism and seasoned years of being in this art form of telling the truth through someone else's words. It was really quite miraculous for Johnny and Grant, but the three of us would find each other at moments throughout the shoot and pinch each other.
I'm still not down from it. I'm still on the
That's
from
great.
It was really something else.
Yeah, especially some of the people we're thinking about you're mentioning on this. But I think the big thing is the reason why I had you on for this and to talk about 13 Reasons Why, but also is we need to figure out ways of bringing awareness to bullying and suicide and decrease it. And decrease
seconds.
It in so many ways. And really you have a dialogue start so that parents, teachers, administrators all together are working together with the students to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Johnny mm-hmm. and Maria are doing for sure in so many ways. So Johnny and Maria, best place we can follow and find information on you. There's a Twitter account for the movie, right? Is that correct, Maria?
Yes, we have Twitter, which is The Movie Reach. We have our website page, Reach the Movie. You can find us on Facebook and also on Instagram. And our website will be fully launched with songs. We're going to be sharing some of the songs that will be featured on our soundtrack and in the movie, along with some T-shirts with some really great sayings about, you know, reach out, save a life, power of one small gesture can change the course of one's life forever. And we're going to be donating all funds raised to a few organizations that I can't yet disclose, but we're going to be partnering with. So we're definitely out there. All you have to do is search Reach the Movie.
All right. Well, fantastic for you guys calling. Peter, enjoyed, again, the conversation you brought into 13 Reasons Why. I think I still have reasons why to question certain things, and that's great. But I really like the project that you and Maria and Johnny are doing, because the real thing is to bring awareness but bring positivity towards this. To say, hey, we are here to try to make a difference. We're reaching out and helping people that are suffering through things. Maria and I might disagree in what days when we went to high school. It must have been based on the high schools we went to, but the serious things that Mark Miro talked about and different things like this that are going on in schools all over the country now, we really, as parents, need to talk to our kids. We need to have those conversations. And Johnny, you're bringing that conversation up. Maria and families listening right now about 13 Reasons Why, sit down, watch the whole show yourself. Stream that so you can have conversations with your kids about this, because you would be shocked to know people that consider suicide every day and mental health issues that kids are going through. So I appreciate you calling, Johnny and Maria. Maria, are you on Twitter? Johnny, we'll definitely follow the movie. But
what about you? Can follow me at Maria Cappuccielli. Cappuccielli.
Okay, sounds.
I'm no Twitter. I'm new Instagram. I'm just Johnny J. Fiore on Instagram.
All right, sounds good, guys. We're gonna continue to highlight the film, and thanks for calling. And Peter, thanks again. Take care, guys.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, good night. See you. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Education Hour, and take care, guys, and we'll talk next week.
You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.